Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network. Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons podcast, where today I watched the Beetlejuice animated series with my friend Marcy King. Marcy uses she/her pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at @StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she/her, and I'm here if you need to talk.
I've got my own fair share of shit going on right now. Can I swear in this?
Yeah, absolutely. You can nice. Do it. And you can talk about fucking cartoon characters, and it's encouraged, in fact.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we talk about
that a lot.
I forgot
whose podcast I was on.
Yeah, you've seen my Twitter feed, right? Like, if this show was safe for work, that would be weird. That'd be very strange. Marcy, today we are going to be talking about the Beetlejuice animated series. I'm very excited about this episode.
Oh, yeah. I grew up watching this cartoon. Yeah, I got to see it when it was in reruns on Cartoon Network in the UK. And so I rarely got to see it because it was like kind of just like a way for them to fill the daytime schedule with like new shows. But whenever I did see it, it always was like a super, super energized, super energetic cartoon. And I'd never seen the movie, so I assumed it was also a very faithful interpretation of who Beetlejuice was. My idea of Beetlejuice as a character was kind of built around this show, which was the majority of it. But also, like, because I hadn't seen the movie, my only exposure to the original property was those amazing action figures that were out at the same time that seemingly had nothing to do with the movie or the show.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting to see, like, in the 80s and 90s, this trope of, like, taking an R-rated movie or, like, a really edgy PG-13 movie and turning it into a cartoon for kids. You know, like, we had RoboCop, we had Beetlejuice, we had Rambo and the Forces of Freedom. And I think that the common theme between all of these is that they missed the point entirely of the original property. Like, in this one, it's really strange because you have, like, Beetlejuice, you know, this ageless demon who, in the movie, tried to marry a 15-year-old girl against her will to, like, solidify himself in the mortal world. In the cartoon, she's in seventh grade, and they're best friends, and they just hang out all the time, and he's not making sexual advances on her. He's just kind of like a hooligan. He's just a goofball.
He's totally nerfed for the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about his power level, though. Do you think he's more or less powerful in the show than he would have been in the movie?
He comes off in the show as, like, a lot more cowardly.
That's true. In the movie, everybody seems to be, like, afraid of him. Like, afraid either of his power or of just his manic, crazy energy and unpredictability. in the show, everybody's just kind of like, oh, this guy's annoying. Like, we don't want him around. He sucks.
Yeah, he's just an irritating neighbor with like a really, really literal pun-based sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh, the puns in the show are just like off the chain. Not great, generally.
I think I've managed to pinpoint where I get my, I don't know if I would call it love, but my compulsion towards just really awful puns.
Mm-hmm. So we watched a few different episodes, each of us. Which episodes did you watch? What happened to them? Because I know that we both watched the first one, right?
Yeah. So I checked out the first episode of each season. I checked out the babysitter one. I checked out the first episode of the second season, third and fourth season.
There was four seasons of this show?
Four seasons, yeah.
I did not know that somehow. I thought, because it ran for 2 years, I thought there was only two.
No, four seasons. And apparently it like changed networks for the fourth one.
Wow. Just like My Favorite Hotel. Four seasons.
I'm more of a La Quinta gal myself. Do we get paid for that?
I don't
that?
Think I've ever been to a Four Seasons. I've never been to one. So what happened in the episodes that you watched? We'll talk about the babysitter one in a little bit because we both watched that one. But I'm curious about the episodes that I didn't see.
So the one that like sticks with me the most is the first episode of the fourth season. First of all, it has a completely different intro. Animation-wise, it's still the same theme tune.
Right.
Completely different animated intro. I think it's actually a little bit better. The animation in it is definitely like a step up.
I think that I've seen the one that you're talking about, unless there's a bunch of them, but definitely like the first frame of the new animated series is like, oh, okay. Now they sort of bumped up the production budget and then it keeps going and you're like, oh no, it's still, it's pretty cheap.
They clearly blew the animation budget in the intro. It was an interesting like kind of meta episode where Beetlejuice has a TV show and he's trying to keep ratings up.
Okay. That's fun.
And to get ratings on his show, he brings in famous dead figures from history.
Mm-hmm.
And he interviews them and everyone hates the show. So through some logic, he's gonna be fed to sandworms if his show doesn't do well. I'm not really sure how the TV world works. I assume that's a normal thing.
That seems like a recurring theme in the TV show, is that every episode, the stakes of the situation is if he fails at babysitting, he's going to be fed to sandworms. If his TV show fails, he's That's hard to say. Fed to sandworms.
He's so terrified of these sandworms that he somehow manages to outsmart every time. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's a traumatic experience each time and he just doesn't remember it.
That's true. I thought that in the first episode, he sort of overcame his fear and he was like, now I'm over it. Like, this will never come up again. And then it's a constant in his life. It's just a recurring motif.
There is a later episode. I can't remember if it was the first of the second or third series where he has to be like reminded that he's the ghost with the most and that other list of things that he's told that he is to boost his confidence.
Yeah, the plots in the show are really crazy. Like, we both watched the babysitter episode. I watched one where Beetlejuice tries to enter a beauty pageant, and they won't let him do it because he's a man, so he dresses up like a woman, and they still don't let him do it. And then he, like, convinces everybody else that they all need to argue that they should be allowed to enter the beauty pageant, and then he gets into it and he loses, and that's the whole episode.
Okay, so a very faithful adaptation of the source material.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a strange episode because there was a lot of like weird transphobia sort of, and like this weird element of like if we let Beetlejuice in, then who else is going to try and get in here? You know, everybody, all of these men just want to be part of this beauty pageant. And it's like, okay, so did like transphobes just watch the Beetlejuice cartoon in South Park and The Simpsons to learn all of their talking points? Because like, Jesus fucking Christ.
That episode is basically J.K. Rowling's first writing credit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Got her. Take that.
Yeah, nailed her. She's going to be so hurt by that. She definitely listens to this podcast. You just have this sobering moment when you're in the middle of watching the Beetlejuice cartoon where you're like, I'm watching a cartoon where Beetlejuice and Lydia, the girl who he again tried to force to marry him against his will, We won't be forgetting that in this episode. I'm watching the two of them go to visit Beetlejuice's parents.
I did watch that one too, yes.
Okay, that was a lot. Just like that sobering moment of like, now I'm watching this happen and I remember the movie. I watched it like 2 weeks ago and I feel like if I hadn't seen the movie in a long time, I'd be like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Like Beetlejuice is wacky. Lydia is kind, but emo, you know, this is true to their characters. And then you watch this show and you're like, okay, well, maybe not so much. What did you think of the Beetlejuice's parents episode?
Well, I thought it was really interesting that he has his mother's eyes. A very big focus on how he smells.
Yeah, that's true. They really want us to know that Beetlejuice just smells like shit. Just constant reminders in this show.
Pretty much every episode I watched had some reference to how bad he smells. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of interesting that in this like afterworld, or not afterworld, what's it called? In their neither world.
Yeah.
You still have to go and get a job. It's still capitalism.
Yeah, well, that's kind of true to form in the movie, because the movie, the whole thing is like this entire middle world purgatory place is like a very like bureaucratic, like you have to go fill out a bunch of paperwork to actually move on to the afterlife. You know, you're stuck in a place for 200 years and you can only go ask for assistance twice or something like that. So it makes sense that in that world, you would have to go work down at the Frankenstein factory or something. Like, that makes sense, I guess. A weird element to Beetlejuice's parents is that you would think that they would be, like, cruel. You know, like, Beetlejuice would turn out the way that he is because his parents are assholes. But no, they're very nice, and the only thing is, like, his mom wants him to wash himself more because he smells like shit, and his dad wants him to get a job somewhere.
His mom is, like, a little bit of a neat freak, it seemed like.
Yeah, that seems like her only personality trait is that his mom loves to clean and forces her son to clean. But I was a little bit confused, like, what are they all the same race, or is he, like, a mix between, like, a Frankenstein and something else?
So I guess his dad is a Frankenstein, and his mom is maybe a zombie?
Okay, that makes sense. And he's a demon, as stated multiple times in the movie, so, like,
it's cartoon logic.
I think that they could have put a little bit more thought into, like, what Beetlejuice's parents would be like. Like, if they really have to tell us about Beetlejuice's parents, it shouldn't be an 11-minute episode where their only character traits are, like, he likes to work and she likes to clean and they wish he would work and clean himself more.
Honestly, it makes sense. He's obviously grown up never having to work, never having to clean anything. So the fact that he doesn't know how to get a job or how to keep himself clean, I don't know, it kind of makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, and also, Beetlejuice seemingly has a job. Like, when we watch him in the movie, his job is, he's got, like a TV ad that plays on the TV. He's got a whole business set up, you know? Like, everybody knows about him in the afterlife. Like, it seems like he shouldn't have to go shovel manure. He already has a whole business set up.
Yeah, he's just kind of like a contractor in the movie, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of the movie, I know we talked about it a little bit, but this is very, very different from the film. The characters played by Alec Baldwin and Geena Davis don't show up or even seem to have existed at any point in time in this story. It's really strange because it's like, well, I guess that this is an alternate universe where Lydia just met Beetlejuice. There was no creepiness going on. They just became friends. I don't know, like, there's a point in one episode where she's riding her bike and she rides through the tunnel that Alec Baldwin and Geena Davis died on. And it's like, okay, so they're obsessed with, like, referencing the film and, like, the darkness of the movie and things that are different between the movie and the cartoon, but not really in any kind of a way that answers the questions that we have about it, you know?
I think the biggest connection to the movie is perhaps the love of vaguely tropical music that kind of permeates the show, at least in those, like, early episodes and seasons.
It's true. They love singing the Banana Boat song.
Oh,
they're like,
yeah.
Hey, remember this part from the movie that you liked? Well, we're going to do it a whole lot, just constantly doing it.
Oh, yeah. Great, great public domain songs about just really chill subject matter.
I wonder what rights they were able to retain here and what they weren't, because Lydia doesn't look like Winona Ryder, really, and Beetlejuice looks similar-ish to his movie counterpart. Like, in the cartoon, he's got blonde hair and purple skin. And it's like, that's not really iconic Beetlejuice. Like, that's very strange that they wouldn't be able to make his hair green, you know?
I do think that the overall design of Beetlejuice, while it's fairly removed from how he looks in the movie, I think it's a good character design. I gotta say, yeah, though they don't bear much resemblance to, like, the original, you know, actors and actresses, like, I think they kind of hit it out of the park with the overall designs of the main characters.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely fun, and he's definitely, like, very expressive and very gross. Like, he loves to smile and, like, show you all of his, like, disgusting wooden rotten teeth or whatever.
Oh, his teeth are the best.
And I mean, the thing is that this cartoon is generally really enjoyable. Like, I watched like 5 or 6 11 to 22 minute episodes, and I did like most of them, but some of them you just like, you turn on and tune out immediately. Some of the characters in the show are very shrill.
There's a lot of yelling.
And hard to watch and listen to. Yeah, there's a lot of yelling. And it's like, when Lydia's not around to sort of balance things out and make it less yelly and more like, I'm a human being and I am confused, explain to me what's happening, it gets off the rails pretty fast. One of the episodes that I watched was called The Really Odd Couple. And I couldn't tell you what happened in that episode because it was boring and there was a lot of screaming. And Beetlejuice was being annoyed by somebody that was even more annoying than him. That guy had a cowboy hat and a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything else about him.
There's that whole, like, side cast of characters that they came up for. There's, like, a French skeleton. There's a spider. There's, like, the cowboy Gossamer from Looney Tunes.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like they introduce all of those characters to, like, replace Lydia. In the beauty pageant episode that I watched, Lydia didn't show up at all, and it was just Beetlejuice and all of his new friends.
Same with the TV show episode. And, yeah, without Lydia, the entire episode was just screaming. Which, you know, kids love. That's what kids love.
Yeah. No, it's true. Kids absolutely love screaming, so that makes a whole lot of sense. But, yeah, it does seem like the dynamic of Beetlejuice the property is very fragile and easy to break. Like, it definitely was more enjoyable when you had Lydia around to sort of balance things. And also there's an element of danger when she's there, I guess, where it's like, oh no, this kid is like a seventh grader. She is 12 years old and they're babysitting like a two-story monster. Like, this could go very bad. And you know that it won't because she's a 12-year-old, but like,
that babysitting episode is a heck of a first episode.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We have to at some point.
What'd you think of Critter Sitters, the pilot episode, or maybe not the pilot, but the first episode of Beetlejuice the Animated Series?
I will say, animation-wise, I was really excited to see the first episode because I know that a lot of these shows, they'll kind of like pour the budget into the first episode to like get a really good-looking, essentially like pilot that they can use in the intro, which I didn't realize that the first intro uses a lot of clips from the first episode. But right off the bat, it's just, we're assaulted with all of these terrible literal puns with this very choppily animated transformation sequence.
It's true. Are you talking about how, like, Beetlejuice doesn't seem to be able to control the way that he transforms anymore?
Yeah, I didn't know that that was a thing in the show. I think that might just be the first episode.
Yeah, I think that that's a problem that he's having in the first episode that he kind of figures out as it goes. Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit, actually, of there's a character in Steven Universe who, like they can shapeshift, but they can't really control the way that their form manifests. And so it's like, however they're feeling is how they will present themselves. And it's used in that show as a very, like, thematically relevant, cathartic moment where this character like feels like a horrible person, and so they turn into this giant monster and start destroying shit until they can like change their self-image of themselves.
Okay, that's fairly relatable, I think.
Yeah, it's great in Steven Universe, but in the Beetlejuice cartoon, it's just kind of like, oh, Beetlejuice is just like, oh, I'm such a baby, and then he turns into a baby, and it's like, okay, I guess this is what the episode is about, is Beetlejuice turns himself into a baby and Lydia has to babysit him.
Beetlejuice is literally baby.
Beetlejuice is literally baby for 2 minutes, though. Like, he turns back so quickly and then it becomes like a weird, A Few Good Men court case scene for 10 minutes.
It is. That episode moves at such a breakneck speed. And we get like a little bit of like lore for the cartoon series where apparently Beetlejuice was responsible for starting a war when he was a baby.
Yeah. Right. That's sort of what I was talking about with the parents thing is like, they're like, well, Beetlejuice canonically started the pudding war, the great pudding war when he was a baby. And his parents are boring. And it's like, well, if you're going to like build on the lore, why is it this? I don't understand why the whole thing is like Beetlejuice as a baby is the most chaotic, terrifying being imaginable.
You know, it's almost as if the people making this show weren't even thinking about the world that they were building in this show, the lore that they were laying down.
Well, I don't even know if I would say that because the show does seem to be made with a lot of love.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly, like, they could have phoned it in a lot more than they did. Like, the way that Beetlejuice is animated and his character design, the music in the show, the voice acting is pretty good. Like, I forget who is playing Beetlejuice, but he does a pretty good job.
So I looked up who played Beetlejuice. It is a Canadian guy, I believe, called Stephen Ouimette.
Oh, okay.
I checked out his other credits to see, like, I figured it would be one of those, like, 90s voices that does, like, everything. But no, the biggest credit outside of Beetlejuice is he voices the Beast on Maggie and the Ferocious Beast, the old Nick Jr. show.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
A great show.
We gotta track him down and we gotta get the crossover that we all deserve.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the show is very tongue-in-cheek about what they're doing and how it's different and similar to the movie. Like, this episode starts with a very weird scene of Beetlejuice trying to go shopping because he wants to buy an anniversary present for Lydia because they've known each other for a year. And it's like, well, you would think that if the movie has like a subplot where it's like this thousands of year old demon is going to try and make this girl his child bride, you would think that in the show they wouldn't like create jokes about them dating.
They really danced around the term child bride. Definitely a clear avoidance of the subject.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, well, her parents show up eventually and they're sort of just like as clueless and as shitty as they were in the movie. I guess that the idea is they don't know about Beetlejuice's existence, but, like, I didn't see an episode where that came into play, really.
I checked out an episode I think it might have been season 3 where Beetlejuice turns into a dog. And
okay, that sounds really good.
We get into more transformation rule issues there because because he's wearing a dog collar, he's unable to transform back. And he ends up being adopted by Lydia's mom and is their dog for an episode.
Does he look like a dog or does he look like a dog body with Beetlejuice's face?
He looks like an orange and black striped dog. And once again, the design is actually pretty cool. And his mom is like very much in love with him as a dog. And he tries everything to make her hate him. And she's just so proud of this
Lydia's
horrible
mom,
dog.
Right? Not...
Oh yeah, Lydia's mom.
Okay.
And she's just so proud of everything he does, even though it's disgusting and horrible. And I gotta say, as a dog owner, I can kind of relate to that.
I mean, honestly, Beetlejuice has all the classic archetypes of a dog, right? He's smelly, he's energetic and chaotic, he shits on the floor a lot. What else do dogs do?
He's definitely got some kind of, like, bug infestation issue.
That's
like,
true.
At least fleas.
Yeah, I mean, he could eat dog food. I think he'd be fine doing that.
I've tried dog food once. It was bland.
Bland? I did not expect you to say bland. Bland in what way? Like it tasted like tuna if you ran water through it too much or what?
I don't know how I would describe it. I'd recommend just going for it. Just a handful of dry food, just one day. Have something to wash it down because it's dry.
This was recently you did this or this was as a child?
This was in college.
Okay, great. Classic fraternity initiation.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think I just wanted to like irritate my friend because she had expensive dog food and I was that brand of brat back then.
Let's see, other differences from the movie to the cartoon. When Lydia wants to summon Beetlejuice, she has to do like a whole chant. Did you notice that?
I did notice that. I don't know if that makes it outside of the first episode.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were doing it because it had much better animation and they could reuse it in every episode, so I expected them to use it a lot more. Sometimes she can just say Beetlejuice 3 times and he appears. Also, we really need to be careful not to say that too many times. I'm worried.
Oh, that's true.
I haven't even been thinking about this whole podcast. We could be in so much trouble.
Oh, no.
But in that episode, she says, though I know I should be wary, still I venture somewhere scary, ghostly, haunting, I turn loose. Beetlejuice.
And
you
then
know
a third
what?
Time.
Yeah, she says it 3 times, which we're not going to do. And I guess that maybe that's like her going to the nether realm instead of bringing him to her world. Maybe that's how it works.
I'm not sure. It seems to work for just however she wants it to work. Like, maybe it's all about intention. Maybe it's like they're pulling in some, like, Wiccan influences. Like, they're setting intention first, or maybe that's not right. Wiccan. Maybe I'm mixing my messages here.
That's whatever they did in Midsummer.
Oh, when's that animated series coming out?
Oh, man, that would be really good. Like, inexplicably, her boyfriend would just be, like, walking around in a bear costume the entire movie, like, the entire show. And she would just always be wearing, like, the flower crown. And I guess that it's supposed to be set on the day where everything goes down, but they just don't want you to think about it very much.
Yeah. They live together in a giant pyramid.
God, ritual sacrifices every week. I don't know. This show's so weird. It's strange because, like, in the movie, they put so much heft and so much weight onto, like, don't summon Beetlejuice. It will cause the end of the world or kill you or hurt the people that you love or you'll get exorcised or whatever. In the cartoon, it's literally just, like, Lydia's mom replaces her drapes with new pink drapes and she doesn't like that, so she's going to call Beetlejuice to, like, make them skulls again or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's serious stuff, honestly.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, she doesn't have any sort of income. Like, she's making $2 an hour babysitting, so, like, it's not like she's going to go out and spend $50 on some new drapes at... I don't know, where do you get skull drapes in 1989? Like, Hot Topic? That didn't really exist yet.
Yeah, no, probably like the very back room of Sears. I assume that was the only store back then. They only had department stores.
That's true. Or she sees like a lot of like soothsayers, you know, she goes to a lot of like witchy sort of stores and knows all the people that work there and gets a good discount on them.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I mean, that could be whose kid she's babysitting, because I don't know who in their right mind would leave their baby with a 13-year-old girl who hangs out with a demon all the time and is going to lose your baby in the netherworld. Like, you'd have to be a little irresponsible, I guess.
Yeah. Honestly, I probably wouldn't put that in my ad if I was a babysitter. I'd probably leave out the whole, I summon demons in my bedroom and I, you know, warp into other realities and I may or may not take your child with me. I would probably just not mention that up front.
So it's stupid. She tells Beetlejuice, here's an element of Beetlejuice that's very strange in this cartoon, is that they kind of turn him from like a devious, horrible demon into like a penny-pinching Ed, Netty saving up quarters 12-year-old going out to mow lawns to earn a couple bucks to go out and buy candy or something.
Yeah, that is always a challenge with these things, to make like these adult characters into completely new but somewhat familiar characters that have different motivations altogether.
Yeah, it's true. And it's interesting that like they make his whole thing in the show, like, he's greedy. Like, he always wants cash. That's why he enters the beauty pageant. It's why he becomes a babysitter. So he kind of, like, takes Lydia's lead and is like, well, if Lydia can earn $2 an hour babysitting, then I'll just babysit a bunch of monsters in my world.
By literally sitting on them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's his whole gag, is that he thinks he's supposed to
excellent,
sit on them.
Excellent joke. You know, it was really, really needed to be repeated several times throughout the episode.
All of the puns in the show. Like, he'll just be walking around and run into a mime, and then he'll scare the mime just so that he can say, point at the mime and be like, ugh, silent scream star, huh? And it's like, what are you doing, Beetlejuice? What is your life? So yeah, he's babysitting all these babies, things go amok, and he gets put in a cage, and he's going to be fed to the sandworms. But like, Lydia convinces everybody that he's actually good somehow. It was all stupid. It was just really stupid, honestly. Beetlejuice's whole thing was that he wanted to babysit so that he could earn money so that he could give Lydia an anniversary present.
For their friendship, not for their weird child-bride relationship.
That's right, for their friendship, and it's definitely not weird, even if it's just a 12-year-old hanging out with a 1,000-year-old demon, that still gets into some very dicey territory. Like, generally, adults shouldn't be hanging out with 12-year-olds they're not related to anyway, but go off, Beetlejuice animated series, whatever. What did you think of this show? Would you watch this again? Was this a fun trip down memory lane?
When I first started watching it in preparation for this, I was ready for a show that I used to really love. Remember how like kind of like funny and like fast action it was. And I was immediately annoyed by how the show was. Then I just kind of let them play and let more episodes play. And I kind of got into it. Like, some of the humor like actually started to get me. I hate to say it, but cheesy puns are kind of what I love. And I started to realize as I watched it more, there's a lot of like influences of Looney Tunes in there with a lot of like physical comedy, and not all of it lands, but I don't know. I think it works for what it was. I don't think I'm going to be rushing out to buy the complete series. I almost did in preparation for this, but...
Yeah, you were telling me how excited you were for that, but now you've changed your mind.
Seeing the big numbers, 3 and 0, for how much it cost, I just couldn't throw down that kind of money on...
$3,000?
$30.
Oh, okay.
I bought a Switch instead.
This cartoon, a lot like the Mask animated series that I watched a couple months ago, is actually really fun, and I wish that I would have watched it as a kid, separated entirely from the source material. Because, yeah, it doesn't really live up to your expectations of what it should be based on the movie, which is just a great movie in general. But it's fun. Like, it is very Looney Tunes. I can see those kinds of influences. And the characters are really neat. The character design especially is neat. And it's just fun to see, like, like we were talking about, kids just love screaming.
And there's a lot of screaming.
Yeah, there's just a lot of nonsensical yelling and people changing into babies and dressing up like women to sneak into a talent show. And you're like, this is a good show. I had fun with it.
It's the perfect preparation for entering the adult world.
I don't know about that. I'm confused by that statement. Okay, great. So this show rings true to form for you.
Oh, totally.
Best friends with a 12-year-old. What else? Your friend is a cowboy monster. Your parents are a Frankenstein and a zombie.
Basically.
Great. Well, that is the Beetlejuice animated series. Marcy, thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it was fun. Where can people find you online?
I am on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I have comics on Tumblr. And my handle for all of those is Marcy King Ultra.
Great. And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Cactus juice, cactus juice, cactus juice.
Yeah, chartreuse, chartreuse, chartreuse.
Blue suede shoes.
Everybody's trying to summon Cartoon Network's newest star.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice!
But it helps if you get his name right. Sunday at 1, it's Beetlejuice.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.